Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Joan asked, wait, it's November 1st, not April 1st. Is that Kim Kardashian thing real? Oh, it's very real. Is it tongue-in-cheek or a joke? Doesn't seem like it. Doesn't seem like you would post this the same day you're announcing a partnership with the NBA. If you want to have pointers, if you want to have headlights, look at that.
Shout out to Taylor Heineke.
Shout out to Taylor Heineke's Halloween costume. He dressed up as a deer and his lady friend dressed up as the lights on the front of a car. Nice.
And just got named the starter for this week.
Hell yeah.
Everything's coming up Heineke.
The Texans lost to his...
now deposed
quarterback. Lost to his predecessor, yeah, who had his best career game.
You know what? That makes me think Texas might need to shake things up, Paul.
Is it time for Davis Mills? Is it time to go back? So that the Texans' offense can go forward.
Running game, I should look this up. Running game was better with Davis Mills. I don't know if that's true. Just in theory, running game was better with Davis Mills.
But only in theory. That's what a lot of people, I do want to find the Davis Mills defenders. I want to know what they're doing with their lives now. Where are they now? Feature from Sports Illustrated would be wonderful. How many people have seen the movie Goodfellas? There's the Lufthansa heist that the main characters pull off. I forget what Robert De Niro's character's name is, but it's Henry Hill. I think Tommy DeVito was still kicking it at that moment in time. I'm going to call him...
James Conway.
Jimmy Conway. Thank you. When they pull that off, all of a sudden, they start to get paranoid, and then they start clipping guys. And there's a great scene with the music from the back part of Layla playing as they just show all the people that have gotten clipped. It's a great scene. It's one of Scorsese's, I think, best scenes. And that's sort of what's been happening to New England Patriot coaches that have had other opportunities across the NFL once they leave Bill Belichick. It's almost as if Bill Belichick is the one that is doing this to these guys eventually. If you are somebody who believes in conspiracy theories or that Belichick and his cheating ways are so smart, you have Patriots derangement syndrome to the point that you believe that Belichick's just sending all these guys as operatives to other NFL organizations so that they will inevitably fail. And maybe that's what's going on. But it is interesting to look at where all of the guys who have worked in the Patriots coaching staff are now. Because with Josh McDaniels gone, there are legitimately just 2 to 3 holdovers, Bill Belichick disciples in positions of prominence. Because Bill O'Brien's an offensive coordinator now. It's just Belichick and Texans general manager Nick Caserio. And it's been interesting seeing the discourse about the Houston Texans the last couple of days. I think some people were mad at Nick Caserio that he didn't make a trade at the trade deadline. Here are some of the trades that actually went down in the NFL. The Seahawks, who are actually a contender, traded a 2024 second-round pick and a 2025 fifth-round pick on Monday for Giants defensive lineman Leonard Williams. I like the move. The Chicago Bears made a trade. I don't know why they made it. This would be like the Houston Texans making a trade. They got Montez Sweat for a second-round pick. That's, I think, what a lot of people wanted to see happen. They wanted the Texans to go and get him or somebody else. And with the way that their cap is currently situated, it's certainly possible for them to have freed up enough cap space to trade for a guy. But do you really believe that this team is one piece away from being a significant player? They are not. It's not to say you should never make trades like this, but the Bears trading for Montez Sweat would be like the Texans trading for someone like that, too.
Apparently, the Montez Sweat, like the idea behind it was that they have so much cap room next offseason, and he's going to be a free agent, that they just basically traded to sign him like before free agency.
Yeah.
Which is like, okay, sure, whatever.
Cool. Watch him walk. Unless they decide to give him the franchise tag. They do have a lot of money, so they theoretically yeah. can't give him a massive contract because they do have cap space. But the other trades that went down, the 49ers got Chase Young for a third-round pick. The Bills traded a third-round pick for Rasul Douglas, a cornerback. The Lions traded a 2025 sixth-round pick for Donovan Peoples-Jones. The Bears are the one team that it made no sense for a trade to happen, but they at least have cap space. The Texans do not right now have cap space. They soon will, but right now they don't have it. So it would have been hard for them to make a move. But I think people just want to find reasons to dump on Caserio and get him out of here. And that's not me even really caping for Caserio. I just think the anti-Caserio rhetoric is a tad overplayed. I think that we've gone a little bit too hard on him because I don't think there's anything that he's done that's on the same level as, I don't know, what Rafael Stone and the Houston Rockets seem to have done with their love of Kevin Porter Jr., with picking instead of Evan Mobley, Jabari Smith Jr. Jalen Green instead.
Stingley over Sauce.
There you go. You know what? Great comeback. Great comeback.
Hiring David Culley.
I don't know if they could have hired anybody other than Culley, but the
anyone?
No one
could have worn a polo and stood on the sideline for the Houston Texans other than David Culley.
I don't think anyone would have taken the job. It really seemed like, amazingly, an NFL head coaching job, no one wanted it. And no one serious wanted it.
They couldn't get Lovie Smith?
That one is weird because it seemed like they were about to hire Josh McCown. Remember that? And then they hired Lovie Smith. And I don't know that was Caserio. I don't know. That seems like such a moronic move that only someone like Jack Easterby would have his hands
yes,
in that one.
That is true. I don't even hold the McCown thing. It's just the, like, completely hand wave that his first two coaches he hired were absolute clown shows. And then drafted a guy one pick ahead of an all-pro his rookie year.
Who hasn't played this year.
A guy who's playing 9 games for the team.
You know what? You're talking me into it.
Like, I'm not saying fire Caserio. I'm just saying that he's not been bad in 1,000. Even with he was handed dealt a rough hand, he's still, there's some misses there. Kenyon Green, shout out to you.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Juice Scruggs has not played yet.
Davis Mills, his first draft pick in the third round.
Oh, God.
Talk about, like, the fact that their highest pick was a third-round pick that year, not Nick Caserio's fault. The fact that you spent on Davis Mills where your team's going to be terrible no matter what, you could have gotten anybody to start those 2 years and it would not have mattered. The same way you had hired anybody to be the coach and it did not matter.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I got nothing. That's well laid out, Sean.
I'm just saying.
Fire, like, Nick Caserio.
I'm not even saying fire Nick Caserio. I'm just saying he hasn't been great. Like, he hasn't been, like, all the good stuff has been the most recent, have been hiring D'Amico Ryans and
drafting C.J. Stroud.
Drafting C.J. Stroud.
And maybe drafting
Will Anderson. We need some actual sacks, buddy. The PFF grades are good. Let's get some actual
sacks. You
know
who's been crushing those PFF grades? We'll talk about that on the other side. Because when it comes to Nick Caserio, it does make you wonder if he or Bill Belichick is going to last longer in their current spot. I am really curious. I want to hear what you think about that. 713-780-3776. We'll also talk about just some of the Texans conversations that we've been seeing recently, including one of my colleagues who has a great point about Will Anderson. We'll discuss.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sweet Sassy Molassie.
Clever metaphors and catchphrases escape me, like a fat girl waving her trophy from the smell contest. Sweet Sassy Molassie, I'm trying my best here.
back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios and your favorite 10 to noon sports talk host, Paul Gallant. Give him hell, Paulie.
I want to give a shout out to our guy, Jeremy Branham of the Killer Bees, who has been on this for a bit. I'm not talking about Will Levis. I'm talking about a pushback to crowning Will Anderson for what he has done this season. I don't think he's been bad. I don't think he's a bust. And very often it takes pass rushers time to finally be productive from a getting sacks perspective. But it is starting to get annoying the amount of times you're seeing online some sort of advanced statistic that says Will Anderson's also actually been awesome. He's getting double teamed a lot. His pass rush win rate is great. Those things might all be true. And I don't want to watch defensive line play when I'm rewatching a football game. In fact, I don't really want to rewatch football games anymore because I am not working for a scouting department. Jeremy Branham is rewatching these though. And he is, I think, highlighting interesting moments in this game where you wonder, wait, did Anderson have an impact here? Is this the difference Anderson's making? And Anderson has had some good moments this year. But it does feel like they have been individual splashes as opposed to a complete body of work. And that does make you wonder about more things Nick Caserio, because Caserio did trade a ton to get both C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson at the top of this year's past draft. And I think that it has to do, I think that it definitely relates to a lot of people that used yesterday, Nick Caserio not trading for anyone at the trade deadline, to continue to argue that Caserio stinks. I'm going to read a couple of texts right now from the 832, a question. What has Caserio done that is good? Last year's first round picks, it's not looking so good. You did have some nice mid round picks, though. You did have Jalen Petrie. You did have Damian Pierce, who doesn't seem to be working this year. You did have Christian Harris as well. This year's draft class, are you getting enough from a returns perspective? And that's where it starts to get a little bit tricky because, look, you're looking at rookies. And, of course, the quarterback's going to make you overlook the majority of the guys that you draft afterwards, including Will Anderson. But Drew Scruggs hasn't played. Tank Dell's been fun. Third-round pick. But are you going to be able to get more out of him? Dylan Horton, if he's played, that's news to me. Henry To'oto'o in the fifth round, he's been on the field a lot. Jarrett Patterson was playing a lot. That seemed like it was a result of injuries. He was a sixth-round pick. You've gotten some good returns out of Blake Cashman. I like the signing of Denzel Perriman. I think he's been pretty good. But, yeah, there's nothing that you can really point at right now with Caserio and say, mic drop, this guy's really good. It's a matter of faith, and when another New England Patriot person that has left the nest gets got, especially when he works for an organization that theoretically doesn't have that much money to actually complete a buyout, and then the Texans don't make any trades yesterday. I can see how people go back to focusing on Nick Caserio and wondering if he's ever going to do more. A text, I don't get the Caserio talk. He got us out of the Deshaun Watson situation, which was pure effing Houdini material. The two coaches were irrelevant, and no elite coach was going to take over the Bill O'Brien dumpster fire. The 2022 draft was decent, and C.J. Stroud looks like the real deal. I'd say he's done a pretty remarkable job. What the bleep do people expect? That's where I've been a lot. Measured. Measured, however, does not generate conversation on online platforms like Twitter. People still use Threads, YouTube, TikTok. That doesn't play.
No, measured content's where Threads has it cornered. Nothing well, but measured content.
Really measured and censored.
Very measured.
Did you see the first thing I posted where I said, oh, great, another social media app, and then had a emoji with its eyes closed with a squirt gun next to it because they canceled the regular gun. Yeah. And now it's just
thanks to the Rocket social media guy.
It is thanks to the Rocket social media guy. They took it down because I was threatening self-harm.
Well,
I mean, I was, but but it was somewhat sarcastic, no? But anyway, to bring it back to Serio and the draft, 2022 for the Houston Texans has had some hits. 2023 has had some hits, specifically the most important position. But I think it's totally fair to ask, okay, well, is Caserio going to actually outlast Belichick here? Belichick supposedly got an extension this offseason, but that season has gone down in all of the flames. Like, their best wide receiver, who they wanted to trade at the trade deadline, tore his ACL on Sunday, Kendrick Bourne. This thing has gone poorly, and I don't think that Bob Kraft would be afraid to pull the plug on this one because it does feel like they've also completely mismanaged their first-round quarterback. Is that the reason Mac Jones stinks? Probably not, but it does feel like that's one of the big reasons that they find themselves in this position. So is Belichick going to outlast Caserio? I've heard that there is some buzz in the building, and I'm not going to act like I have feet on the ground here. I was just having a conversation with somebody, and they told me that my gut, when it was the Texans doing that post-firing Lovie Smith press conference and just having Nick Caserio out there for 30 minutes, like, they were trying to have him sweat it out, and they were telling him, like, you better not mess up. Like, you are on thin ice here. Understandably so. I think they also got probably conscious of the idea that a lot of people in Houston just hate all things Patriots because of all the Bill O'Brien stuff and Jack Easterby. There's a lot of people that have been turned off by it entirely, this attempt to be Patriot South. So being sensitive to that maybe means that the people in the front office are actually going to be a little bit quicker on the trigger finger when it comes to blasting somebody like Caserio out. Maybe. Sean, why are you laughing at blasting?
You can't say finger and then blasting that close to each other without
why not?
Without me giggling. It will be interesting, though, if Bill Belichick gets...
You're like Nick Wright with Chris Broussard. I wanted to stay on this.
I have a cousin that just got... anyway.
Well, I hope... I mean, listen, this isn't Alabama. I hope you're not talking about yourself here. Anyway, bring it back.
Bill Belichick. If he gets fired, if Bob Kraft does make the tough decision to fire the greatest coach of all time, they would have to hire a new coach. They would also have to hire a new general manager.
What if they bring back the triumvirate? It's Josh McDaniels, Bill O'Brien, and
Nick Caserio.
Wow. Honestly, I could see the Patriots doing that.
Mm-hmm. And then they play in the Super Bowl against Bill Belichick led
Cowboys. He's going to be on the Cowboys. I honestly, if there's odds anywhere that you can find, Bill Belichick's head coach of the Cowboys.
His next job.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
I think there's smoke to that.
You think that the Cowboys would fire Mike McCarthy fresh off of...
Yes.
No, wait, losing in the divisional round. Yeah, they probably would.
Yes. So I think that's a possibility.
I'm kind of upset that the Patriots extended Bill Belichick in this offseason secretly because I have so much fun with the Bill Belichick fan fiction that, like, I'm sad that it kind of rained on my parade.
Oh, no. I hate it when that happens.
Yeah. It's so much more fun to fantasize.
He's going to be the Cowboys head coach. It's going to happen, guys. 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. This is also being discussed, and it's been a bit of a slow sports day. I have refused to acknowledge the World Series, and I refuse to talk about the low ratings for the World Series because it would make me a loser, because that's essentially what I'm rooting for. It's like, aha, no one cares about the Rangers. Aha.
Even then, like, do people want to hear about Texas Rangers versus Arizona Diamondbacks baseball? Like,
nope.
They also, wasn't it like 11-5? Like,
it was 10-0 at one point in the third inning.
Close.
It was 10-0 in the third inning. I was like, okay, great. Let's go back to watching this Maction game, which at one point there was so much snow going on that you had no idea it was October 31st. It was Northern Illinois and I think one of the directional Michigans. I think Central Michigan.
I was going to say an Ohio school.
Yeah, well, yeah, get this.
Central Michigan, Ohio.
It's in Ohio. People just don't understand
East,
that.
East Michigan, yeah. Ohio.
So, I mean, like, we could talk about those things. You want to do everyone's favorite small talk? How about the weather?
Yeah.
It's really chilly cold outside, lately. Man.
It's so cold.
It's really chilly. Like, the Batman costume last night, I felt actually very comfortable last night. But on Saturday, because it was hot, because it's, like, the hottest year we've ever had, man, I was sweaty. So, there you go, guys. There you go. We're not mailing it in. 713-780-3776 to call into text. We could talk about this Connor Stallion situation while we're on directional Michigans. Was Connor Stallions the man who created the Michigan 600-page manifesto of how that football program would rise back to the glory it once carried itself with? Was he incognito on the sideline for another future Michigan opponent? And what's actually the best way to go incognito? We'll discuss both next. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.com. We keep getting away with it.
He can't keep getting away with it.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
This Connor Stallions story in college football, for those who don't know, this is the guy that has been spearheading the Michigan operation to allegedly steal the signs of potential future opponents. I believe $15,000 worth of payments have been handed out by Stallions to people to actually do the deed. Right now, there are photos on social media allegedly showing Connor Stallions on the sideline of Michigan's state's opener against the Central Michigan Chippewas. He's on the sideline. He's got a hat. He's got glasses. In a statement, Central Michigan Athletic Director Amy Folan said the school only became aware of the photos on Monday. The athletic department is collecting facts surrounding the incident. Stallions would have allegedly been on the sideline to illegally scout and steal signs from the rival Spartans. The Michigan State Central Michigan game took place on a Friday night, while Michigan opened its season against East Carolina one day later with Stallions on the Wolverine sideline. Huh. The Michigan staffer did not have a general sideline pass, which are relatively common. You are right. It is very easy, person who wrote this article, to get a sideline pass in college football. Instead, Stallions appears to have a game pass that reads VB for visiting bench. They're only given it out to opposing teams for coaches, trainers, and staffers. He was wearing Central Michigan apparel that appeared to be team issued. It's unclear how Stallions may have gained access to these resources. It's unclear. The guy is a Marine. Of course he's going to find a way to get the job done. He has a manifesto to put Michigan back on top. Of course he was going to do something like this. Could he have done it better? Honestly, I'm not sure, because I think he had to be in that gear. I think he had to be dressed up like that.
The sunglasses is where he went wrong.
Because it was sunglasses at night?
It was a Friday night. You can't. Like, that goes from incognito, like, being incognito, to now, like, suspicious.
The best way to go incognito, Sean, you're right. You can't call attention to yourself in any way. Sunglasses on the sideline, it's either a hard-out move,
it's Deion Sanders.
Or something a celebrity does it.
Yeah, exactly. Deion Sanders. You're either if you're on a football sideline wearing sunglasses at night, you're either Deion Sanders or you're trying to steal signs.
Well, that's a bit of a jump. The last part is a bit of a jump.
You're not supposed to be there, and you're trying to act like you're there, or you're Deion Sanders.
Okay.
But I will say, though, like, this is just so crazy that this is where, as an Astros fan, I have to have some sort of consistency with this cheating scandal versus the Astros one. This is now, like, pushing up against the level of, like, is this Jose Altuve's buzzer? Ooh. Is this, like, the one that where it's, like, all this other stuff is real? This one is, like, so extreme, but there's no actual, like, proof yet.
It's a great point.
It's
because
just a picture.
There's paranoia that comes from this. Historically, if you remember in the 1950s from reading a history book or something like that, Joseph McCarthy, a United States senator, had the entire United States of America freaking out about whether or not anyone was a communist, which led to people seeing communists when they weren't actually seeing communists. And that kind of paranoia lends itself to what Sean just brought up, Jose Altuve and the buzzer, or whether or not this guy actually is Connor Stallions on the sideline.
Because we don't know.
We actually do not know. But if you are going to go in disguise, you don't do the sunglasses. Here's what you do. I do this whenever I go to Walmart. I only do it when I go to Walmart. Walmart is a place I never want to be seen. I just don't want to be seen. It's nothing against Walmart. I just don't want to be seen by anyone there. You know? I don't know why it is, but like I'm embarrassed whenever I go to Walmart. Last time I went to go get something from the photo section because I found a cheap way to print off an online photo. And it took me 35 minutes to get the photo because there was no one there. This is the kind of stuff like that. It's just a miserable place to go. You can't find anybody to help you. The store's too big. So whenever I go there, I wear a nondescript hat, a nondescript jacket, and I put that hat as low down on my head as I can so that people can't see my eyebrows. That, guys, is how you go incognito. So there you go.
Maybe a hoodie for Connor Stallions?
That probably would have worked better than this.
Than sunglasses, yeah.
Yeah, the sunglasses is hard. But again, it's early September. Who's going to buy that? I know it's Friday night, but like, was it cold enough for that?
Maybe.
You gotta have the hat on. And I don't know, maybe on the game that you're going to the next day.
Shave. I think that's the
thing. And you got to get just a collagen-rich diet to make the beard grow out quickly. We got a call, 713-780-3776. Gary wants to talk about the Michigan cheating scandal. Gary, what's up?
Hey, guys. Hey, thank you. This will probably be my last time calling, the first time in a while, but I just wanted to, first of all, talk about the Bill Belichick tree. Initially, Bill Belichick had to come from somewhere, but Bill Belichick, obviously, I mean, mastermind or what have you, has never, the word never, they say never use never, maybe once or twice, never done anything outside of winning a winning record and anything without that, the GOAT, Tom Brady, the GOAT, the greatest. So
we can,
the
Gary,
Bill Belichick tree, wait, I'm almost finished.
But
you're
wrong.
The Bill Belichick tree doesn't exist without, Bill had to come from somewhere first.
Yeah, the
Bill
Giants.
Bill had to initially come. Bill didn't just appear. Yeah, but before him, he had to be coached by other people also. So he was under somebody. This notion that he's the greatest. Well, Bill, shop for the groceries, win, get to the playoffs, make different selections, be great without great. Show me you're great without great. Then we can talk. I'm just saying, be great without great. That's all I'm asking. I mean, that's
what are you talking about?
Tom Brady
about, Gary?
Made the Tampa Bay Cubs great.
Gary, for Christ's sake, what are you talking about? Just be great? What does that
mean?
Okay,
and secondly, I'm talking about the tree. We talk about the Bill Belichick tree. There were coaches before Bill Belichick. And Bill Belichick, you saying he come from the Giants. Just give me one thing.
He was working
that
with Bill Parcells.
One. Okay, what did he win as a head coach?
What did Bill Parcells win? Or what did Belichick win?
No, not Bill Parcells. Not Bill Belichick. Yeah. What has Bill Belichick won as a head coach without Tom Brady, period?
Well, you got to look at it from this perspective, Gary. 2001, 2003, 2004.
Oh, my goodness.
Gary, I know more about the Patriots than you. Like, it's the back of my hand. The 2001 Patriots, Tom Brady threw eight. Gary, Tom Brady threw 18 touchdown passes that season. He was not considered to be a plus quarterback. All right, just stop. You know what, Gary? We don't need you anymore. You're the absolute worst caller in Houston sports radio. Jesus effing Christ, okay? Like, be great, be great. What in the effing F are you talking about? And I wish I could cuss. You are absolutely bringing all of our collective IQs down with that. And again, you always do this thing whenever he calls in, before he talks about how race is involved. He always does this thing where, like, let me talk. Well, sometimes I need to stop you because you say something so absolutely moronic and stupid. I'm not going to call you what Chris Broussard called that one guy. That's not nice. That's uncalled for. I wouldn't do that. But here's the reality with Belichick. 01, 03, 04, those are his titles. The Patriots Super Bowls afterwards, the one that they won in 14, the one that they won in the 14-15 season, the one that they won in the 16-17 season, and the one that they won in the 18-19 season, those are Brady's. There you go. What are you talking about? It's been a while since I've heard from Gary, and I would love for him to just stay on the topic of whatever we think we're trying to talk about, or to just stay on any topic at all. Any topic at all. Like, just focus. What are you talking about? The coaching tree. Great, great. You found a couple of buzzwords. Cool. Let's actually create, I don't know, a sentence. Huh? How about that? But I don't know what that was. This was just as bad as the T-Rex call, which he called under an alias, because he probably knew that we were going to jump down his throat as soon as he started talking nonsense. Ugh. Maybe this is why we can't have nice things. Maybe this is why no one wants to call in. Did I handle that too harshly, Sean?
So where did Bill Belichick come from? What tree is...
He came from his parents. The parent tree. You know, his parents, they made love, and they had a child. And there you go.
Make love. What is that? Can you explain to me in the break?
I can't do that. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.com. If you want in, you have to audition.
Hi, I'm Kerry Dubek, and I'm reading for the role of Man at Party Who Smells Fart.
Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here is your ambiguously gay host, Paul Gallant.
No Fun November's back on. Gary's fault. I think we're going to be the least interactive sports talk show in Houston for a bit. I don't want to suspend all callers because of Gary. I don't. I will leave that up to Sean Mapes to be the judge, jury, and executioner here. It would be nice if he could just call in and say one thing. Let me say one thing. And then he says one thing. And then I say one thing, and then we move on. But instead, he says nothing. And then when I try to say something to his nothing, to, I don't know, bring us all back to a level of being aware of what's going on. It would be nice if we could do that. Maybe I should just let him cook, though. Just let him cook. Just don't respond. Just straight dead air. Would that work? Just say nothing? Let him go? Have you ever done that on the phone? Talk to somebody and you just let them talk? I've seen my dad do this before. I remember one time we were driving somewhere and someone was calling him on the phone. And he just put it down and he made like a couple of faces to me. And he just waited for that person to be done talking. And then he was like, yeah, that's all he said. I don't know. Maybe I should do that. Anyway, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, although our internet's down, so I don't think we can do anything but phone calls right now. What a trap they laid for us here. Anyway, hey, I got a question about OnlyFans while we're here. So, I saw a bunch of people roasting an MMA fighter because he was joining OnlyFans. I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name right. Apologies if I'm wrong. Stipe Miocic?
Stipe Miocic.
Stipe Miocic.
You can just stick with Stipe. Everyone will know who you're
talking about. Ol' Stipe. Okay. He was supposed to fight John Jones November 11th, but John Jones suffered a torn pectoral tendon in training. He was withdrawn from the fight. And Stipe, also by Dana White, was withdrawn from the fight. So he posted something on his Instagram. This was, I guess, the teaser for some more content that's soon to be coming from Stipe Miocic.
How did I feel when I woke up today? I got kicked in the nuts. About 1 a.m, I woke up to my phone vibrating and then a text message from my manager saying my fight was off.
And then it fades to black and says OnlyFans.com/Stipe Miocic for more. So I legitimately thought that OnlyFans was just for porn. That's all I thought it was for. But OnlyFans also provides space for various other content creators. I don't know if it says this on the website, including physical fitness experts and musicians. And I mean, he is a fighting expert. But I don't think people are going to go to essentially subscribe to his own version of Patreon or Substack on OnlyFans. Because the intimation is for anyone who signs up for his OnlyFans, if people know that you signed up for his OnlyFans, they're going to wonder if you signed up for his OnlyFans to see more than, let's just say, mixed martial art content.
Yeah, I feel like OnlyFans should like have a like different branch off where it's like OnlyFans is for the smut. OnlyFans is for like,
yeah,
that name has the connotation of this is for smut.
Right.
Not saying it's good, not saying it's bad. That's the connotation it has. But for, yes, like the physical fitness thing, I've seen people that give out like betting picks on like sports betting
right.
touts on OnlyFans and stuff.
Oh, they have done it on OnlyFans.
Yeah. And
are
like
they
Stipe,
hot women?
Well, I mean, they're betting, they're online sports betting people.
I know this is,
chances are, yes.
I know that's not politically correct. I'm not trying to trap you here or anything, Sean. I'm just asking, are the people on these OnlyFans, is it a attractive woman
people of all kinds
I've seen
attractive women, I've seen not attractive
just
other
like
people.
Some schleppy dude,
yes,
like someone who looks like Stavros the comedian Stu Feiner. Okay, he's on OnlyFans.
No, he's not. I just mean a guy who looks like him.
Okay,
which is what every other betting expert looks like.
Okay, so there are people that do it, and as you're saying right now, is that maybe there needs to be a
branch off,
different
same
website.
Company, just a different name where you say join my XYZ that is not OnlyFans, because then although now that I think about it, I bet some people do like they lean into it. They're like, yeah, join my OnlyFans. It'll only be, like, betting tips or, like, I don't know. I don't even know what else you would do. Like, interview right. answers. Like, Stipe Miocic, real, raw, uncut.
The difference must be here, and I'm really struggling with it. The difference must be that you get more money directly to you on OnlyFans than you do on, say, Patreon or Substack. Like that's all I can think of.
Yeah, maybe
it's easier
that's
to
it.
Link to Instagram. But he's getting absolutely crushed for it. I gotta say, if you're crushing an MMA guy, like, good luck.
Yeah, it's also like it takes like 5 seconds to be like, you know what? He's probably not showing feet pics on his
was,
OnlyFans. I mean, I wouldn't care. It'd make money, dude.
I agree. A man should be able to
UFC
make money.
UFC fighters are like the most – they're the athletes that are super famous They're at the top of their sport, but they get paid like they're accountants. Like, they get paid like they are just a regular – they have regular jobs. And so to supplement their – they're the only people that I'm like, you know what? They probably do need to – like, all the NBA players, NFL players with podcasts, what are you doing? Like, what, you need clips. The – you need the ad – yeah, you need the ad revenue from sports clips and MeUndies when you have, like, a – when you have $25 million a year coming to you. Like, no, you just – what are you doing this for? But for – UFC fighters, like, actually, you really should start making money on your name while you still can, while you're still fighting.
I agree with you. There are other people in the sports world, though, that are not liking OnlyFans in the way that old Stipe does. So, Joe Smith played in the NBA. When did he play? I want to say, like, 10 years ago?
I thought it 90s, 2000s range.
Okay.
I think it was the first pick in like 95 or so.
95. Okay. So Joe Smith, his wife, I guess, has been on OnlyFans for a while. And he found out about it and he wasn't happy. And his wife started recording what turns into a very uncomfortable conversation where he's in the background mad. And she's talking to the camera as if she is talking to everybody but her husband, who is mad at her for being on OnlyFans. It's something else to watch. Here's a clip of it online.
Calling me with the f***ing door.
Listen, it's not f***ed up. And we're going to... Okay, look. So, I have an OnlyFans page. And he's mad because he's just now finding out about it.
Of course I'm mad.
I'm not doing it with anybody but myself, so why should I have to tell you my choice, my body? My body, my fucking choice.
I'm your partner, you're supposed to come to me and talk to me.
Joe, I've been talking to you about mad things. I've been asking for solutions. You're not giving me none, so I created one.
That's no solution. Not in my book. That's
no solution. You knew who the f*** I was when you met me.
Before,
I would never have to go back to anything like this again. But unfortunately, that's not the case right now.
She said she thought she'd never have to go back to it. Okay, so I'm wondering what's going on with the money on that side of things. That's a little that's a little concerning for, I guess, the funds of the Smith family. But people are doing it everywhere, man. People are on OnlyFans. Two teachers in the same Missouri high school have been ousted for being found on OnlyFans. I gotta say, for teachers, you talk about jobs that need supplemental income, teachers really need it.
Yeah, and I think that now this is something that people won't agree with. Or at first you'll be like, what? I think that you should, if you're a teacher, like, who cares if you're on OnlyFans? Until you're a high school teacher. Because, like, if you're, like, a first grade teacher, like, your students aren't going to find out. Who cares?
Well, they might now. I don't know.
Wait, you think, like, 6-year-old is going to be on OnlyFans and have their parents' PayPal set up?
I don't know. There's younger and younger people that are figuring out how to use the internet and navigate the internet. And we are not going to be able to stay on top of that in a way to keep younger and younger kids from finding this
stuff out. I say if you teach 11-year-olds or under, have at it. Who cares? Chances are they won't find out. 11 and under.
11 and under.
Think about it.
Goodness gracious.
What 10-year-old is like, not only do I know what OnlyFans is, not only do I look up my teacher's name, which she probably should be using a fake name, but I also will then view her content or his content.
These teachers,
or his content.
No, Sean, I was dating a teacher a couple of months ago, like went on a couple of dates with her, and she was explaining they find all of my stuff. She doesn't put her last name anywhere. Like, it's impossible for her to hide because they look for it and find her. And guess what? Like, someone, a student, slid a note under her door saying, "We found you." They can find anybody. I don't think there is a safe place for it.
Where are these? Why are we treating this like it's Joseph McCarthy? Like, why are we treating this like we're under a totalitarian regime?
We are. We kind of are. a lot of people are saying.
What a raw deal teachers get. You know what?
Sucks. I feel
this
bad.
Is something you only hear on the Pagalancho. Yeah, teachers get a raw deal.
They get a raw deal. You know what?
Sucks. Thanks. They don't get paid for it, and they can't make any money doing anything else.
Yeah.
And they have basically North Korea making sure that they don't do anything.
Yes.
Sick.
That's going to wrap up the Pagalot Show. Connor and Bearder next. I would thank the callers, but Gary happened. Thank you to the texters and twitchers and tweeters. So long, farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Wednesday. Peace.
Be great without great.